tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Oh, there's no music.
Where are you getting ready to
All getting
dance?
Primed to Clone Club dance.
That was
very thrown.
Weird.
But let's get back on track here, everybody. Welcome, Clone Club. Welcome to another AfterBuzz After Show for Orphan Black. This is Season 3, Episode 8, Ruthless in Purpose and Insidious in Method.
Ooh.
I'm Will Link. Next to me, Mr. Matt Lieberman.
Hello, Clone Club. How are you?
Across from me, Anna Koppel.
Hey, y'all.
And Megan Salinas.
Hey, everybody.
So, I always love when an episode starts and we get a new clone.
Yeah, baby.
A new clone. And we had seen Crystal, albeit briefly, in that security cam footage, but we finally got to meet Crystal, and she was terrific.
Now, did Tony show up at episode 8 last year, or was it earlier in the season?
It was episode 8.
Hmm. Interesting. Parallels.
They've done that. I've noticed a lot. Like, there'll be, like you were talking last week about, like, Allison-centric episodes seem to fall. I guess it's the way maybe the season
pays
itself out.
Well, a lot of, the way that, even though the story kind of goes wherever it wants, they hit certain beats at different points during the season every year, it seems. And there's nothing wrong with that. It gives the audience something to look forward to, but it's just, it's interesting, because it's not every show does that.
Well, they have a formula, and it works, and mm-hmm. they're staying with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it has the benefit of having not been on for very long. You know, this is only the third season. I worry about them continuing that pattern for a little bit, because after a while, things do start to get a little predictable.
Mm-hmm.
But for right now, it's totally fine, and I really like what they did with this episode.
And immediately, the second we meet Crystal, she's such, like, it's again, it's just such another unique personality that Tatiana gives us. Right away, we kind of get her, but as we get to know her a little bit more, she's not as vapid or naive as she first came off.
Yeah, I get that. I don't know. For me, this episode, I was very, very charmed by Crystal. I think that's her scenes were kind of the high point of the episode for me. But the rest of it is kind of operating under this wonky logic, in my opinion.
Oh, okay.
Where they should have trusted Delphine. There comes a point. There comes a point where you got where like I'm just like clones. You know that you guys are messing up. You know that you're messing up. You know that what you're doing is not going to work out for you. And it just really, really bothered me that, I don't know. I was just sort of like, why didn't they have her translate the whole damn book before they got her out of there? Why?
Because she can't be trusted.
I know she can't be trusted.
She certainly, look, at this point, what are your, you're going to trust Rachel? They put their faith in Rachel
over Delphine.
I'm completely with him. I don't know if the logic is completely wonky. I kind of get why Cosima might be feeling the way she's feeling, but it's not a good move. It's certainly a bad move.
Right.
It's not that they put their faith in Rachel. It's they underestimated Rachel. They figured that given Rachel's current state, she was no longer a threat. She couldn't hurt anybody. And even when they're quote-unquote helping her, they don't want to. They're just like, oh, we just got to do this so that we can crack the code.
Right.
So they're not putting their faith in Rachel. It's just they don't think that she's capable of hurting them, but right now Delphine is.
But here's the thing. Even if she's not capable of hurting them, even if Rachel's not capable of hurting them, when Castor shows up and steals that book, it is immediately clear that there is a mole inside Leda, and they do not pay any attention to it.
And you know who is definitely not that mole? Delphine.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one person that they know for a fact isn't the mole.
Number
inside.
One.
So, I mean, I feel like, you know, I think we've talked a little bit last week about Delphine having some jealousy about the Cassim. It's the same thing with Cassima, though. Cassima's being just as petty and bad after this relationship.
It's all drama Delphine. With those two.
Yeah. I mean, Scott's right to keep out of it a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, despite that he loves lesbians.
He loves them.
And he
doesn't
anymore.
He's crazy about them.
Yeah.
You know what? Let me before we move on and get a little further into the episode, let me take care of some business here. We love hearing from you, as you know, so keep sending your tweets, your comments, and we read every single one of them. And don't miss a chance to take our very important listener survey at podcastone.com. Your responses will help us make this show the very best it can be. It takes only about 3 minutes of your time, and you will get the instant gratification that comes with knowing you helped us out. You can tell us how you really feel about the show and get to know us better. Do it now. Take the survey, podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com. Okay. So when we come into this episode, Delphine is talking to Crystal, getting the best manicure she's ever gotten in her life. And I think it was interesting because we got a little glimpse into the monitoring process. She goes and checks in on her, and then she hears from Neil, and we got three candidates. Which,
we'll see which one she picks.
Yeah, which one she ends up picking, which kind of goes into a thing that we've been talking a lot about, like how these clones end up getting set up with their partners. And so Dyads throws a lot of different people out there. I'd imagine if somebody was a mole, maybe a certain Shay, that Castor would have done the same kind of thing.
It's 1,000% Shay. We're all on the same page about that, right?
I was going to say, did anybody see the preview for next week?
A lot of people that I've been tweeting with are not on that page, though.
Okay, what?
Well, okay. They have done misdirects in Next Time Ons before. There
That's
is no
true.
Confirmation that she is a Castor spy, and I'm going to just throw it out there right now, not a spy, and Cassima's paranoia in the assumption that she is a spy will push her away and will crush her.
Okay, but Shay definitely found the Island of Dr. Moreau book in the lab, and then saw that
Scott put it in his bag.
Right. I keep wanting to call him Josh, which is the actor's name. Put it in his bag, and then, like, the next scene, Rudy's at Scott's apartment.
It's possible. Yeah, it's just a quick text message.
Yeah.
To be fair, though, it could be every bit as possible that Rachel was informed. I'm not saying Shay isn't some sort of mole or spy, but it could be very much possible that Rachel is the one who also had a outlet to Castor.
But Neelan is the mole. To me, that is very, very clear from the final scene.
Well, he's a mole, but is he the mole?
There are probably multiple moles. I keep telling you guys, you can't trust anybody.
Can I say something real quick?
Rachel, nobody.
Yeah. And I know we're jumping all over the place, but someone mentioned text messaging. Scott is not a patient texter. If you notice, when he is springing Rachel from Dyad, he sends Cassima a text, and it's actually a second text in a row. The first text says, let me know when to go. And then the second text is, leaving now. So Cassima never told him when to go. Yeah. He just decided.
Scott jumps a lot of guns. He always calls Cassima like 100 times before she comes into work.
He's panicky.
Yeah. I mean, even then with, you know, I mean, we didn't see the full scene with him and Rudy. Like, some of it took place off camera. But I feel like maybe he could have handled that differently.
She's feline asthma.
Yeah, he was very concerned. Yeah. He was very concerned. I love, though, that, you know, we get to the start of this episode, and then Rachel wants to talk to Sarah, and we finally get to see what Rachel wants out of Sarah. She wants Sarah to go back to her old, you know, bag of con artist tricks and steal Crystal's identity for her so she can go live a quiet life in Taiwan. Mm-hmm. And I loved seeing Rachel in the scene. First of all, she looks just like an awesome Bond villain with that eye patch.
A few accessories.
My book.
Yeah.
I feel bad instantly doing it.
You don't feel bad because she's awful.
She's an and, old, but
and also I'm not you know, I don't think I know what that I did. She is. I don't think that she's as bad as she's playing up.
Oh no, she's so definitely they, playing it up.
So she's doing just what you just did.
Yeah. Yeah, because by the end, it's like, Dr. Nealon. She talks like a damn robot. Dr. Nealon, thank you. And power again. Cells.
Delete. Power delete. Cells.
And getting back to the whole Delphine thing.
The Delphine of it all.
Mrs. S has got it right from the start. Like, we can't ruin our alliance with Delphine. Like, she is with Diane. And it's true. I mean, these are the people who are trying to cure Cosima. Mm-hmm. These are the people who have... I mean, recently been looking out for them.
These are the people who own them.
Yeah. Did you forget about that, Will?
Them.
They patented their genetic, you know, their genetic blueprint.
Here's the thing. I've always wondered about that. That's the one thing from the show I've always wondered. If we go to court about this, I mean... No court in the land's going to be like, well, they own you. You can't do so. I mean, nobody's going to be there. I mean, they're human beings. Like, how much can you really own a human being?
But are they?
Exactly.
Go.
Well, yeah. You can't crush the human spirit. We learned that.
That's
before.
True.
That's very true.
Crystal has such a good heart.
Oh, she's just such a sweetie.
Yeah.
I like her. I did, too. I felt so bad for her this entire time because she's been left out of the loop.
And that comes the other big mistake, I think, in the episode. When Sarah and Felix do agree to do what Rachel says and go steal Crystal's identity, they should have let her into Clone Club.
Yep.
They really should have. Felix had the right idea when he wanted to do it. And I'm not just saying that, like, second-guessing now that what ended up happening to her. Even at that moment, it wasn't fair to her. And Sarah's like, I don't want to drag anyone else into Clone Club. No, you should have all the clones together on Clone Club. Safety in numbers with all these clones.
Yeah. Her exact words, though, were, there's no room in Clone Club. That's true. We can't let anyone else in because there's no room in Clone Club. There's already too many clones in Clone Club. But it's like, you know, if you really were caring about protecting all of your sisters... You let her in a Clone Club.
I think the idea behind it was just you don't want to screw with this person's life any more than has already happened to them. I get that, but she's already been kidnapped by Castor at one point.
And she's investigating it.
Exactly. So, honestly, the safest thing to do would have been to let her in on that information. Because could you imagine how different the show would have been if Allison and everybody else had just decided, well, Sarah's a clone, but there's no room in Clone Club for her right now.
Yeah, and well, you know what? Maybe if she hadn't impersonated Beth, they would have kept her out of Clone Club. Clone Club shouldn't be so exclusive. Should be inclusive.
It's not an exclusive club. I mean, come on. What's the good part about being in there?
I guess that what they worry about, though, is somebody reacting in the way that Beth did, because Beth lost it after a while, and they'd rather not kind of disrupt somebody's happy, you know, oblivious life.
But like, she's not happy and oblivious.
And I think that's what Sarah said, like, the not knowing really bothers her about different things. So, yeah, she knows. I mean, this is the way you turn someone into a Beth. That's why Beth killed herself, as that we assume from the fever dream that Beth threw herself because she couldn't quite understand things. So if Sarah already has that mentality, she should certainly not be excluding Crystal.
Those notes that Crystal had, I'm just taking a slightly off topic here, wasn't that a Castor, weren't those the Castor horses?
It was a Castor notebook, yeah.
So what was that about? In like bright pink and sparkly.
Well, she got rescued, so chances are she probably saw the tattoo on both of them.
Yeah, I assume she kind of had that in her brain and put it on there.
Oh.
That's what I thought. I didn't think it was a notebook that belonged to Castor.
It looked like merch.
Yeah, it looked like official merch, like she went on BustedTees.com.
Or like in the Castor gift shop or something. Yeah. She was also...
Maybe they had one lying around in the trunk when they stuffed her in
Maybe. That's probably the most likely explanation. Yeah. That makes the most sense. Yeah.
And she dipped it. She dyed it pink. Like, that was her addition. Okay. Was making it pink.
It's nice that Castor, you know, branded some stuff before it exploded.
Can we talk about Jordan Guevara's real voice?
I know.
After the beginning of the season, where we were kind of complaining, oh, they're not giving him enough to do, the last few episodes, he's had a lot to do, and that was fantastic, because we got to see a little bit of him conning people and being a little out of his element, and using his real voice.
Yeah, and playing straight, and doing the whole bit. Now, in life, he is a straight Canadian male, correct?
He doesn't really talk about his sexuality, but I'm under the impression he's not straight.
I don't know.
I'm under that impression as well.
I'm not quite sure. I'm not even sure if he's Canadian, because I think he might
he's
be from
LA.
California.
He's American?
I think, yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Triply impressed.
I'm sure there are people who know more than us who are like, damn it, they don't know.
Like Jordan. Jordan, we know that you listen to this podcast. Let us know one way or another. But I just thought it was a really, really cool sequence. And a great acting opportunity for Jordan, who always does an amazing job on this show. It was just a real pleasure to see him playing differently, and especially coming at it from our love of this character and what we know of him. Having Felix play straight is so fun.
Yeah.
Is so very funny and strange to see.
And I love the line when Sarah's like, you don't have to shag her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Because, he was laying it on thick. She was all about it.
All about it.
He was born in Canada.
Mm. Okay. It's Canadian.
He's Canadian then. Canadian. But I think he's lived, I don't know.
That's what that means.
The Canadian man.
Yeah. I know he lives here now. I know he lives in Los Angeles now. How I know that, that's, you know. But anyway, I don't know what I'm doing. He goes in, and that scene between them was fantastic.
Electric.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you really did see Crystal, like, she wasn't just this funny character. They added a lot of depth to her in that scene, and a lot of anxiety to her. And you could tell it killed Felix to know what happened. And if they ever find out that she's now in a coma as Rachel, they're gonna regret this forever.
By the way, by take care of, do you mean please watch over her as she's in a coma, make sure she's as comfortable as possible, or do you think take care of means do away with her?
No, she needs to exist so that they can safely assume that Rachel is right there. I feel like there's more. It's less suspicious to have a clone there that looks just like her, who's in bed, still alive, than to have her be dead. For some reason. In my head, that makes more sense, because you can still see her. She's right there.
Yeah.
She's
no
right
one will
there.
Ever question. If Rachel, the moves that Rachel's made over time, that if she disappeared from there, if that body was no longer there, people would start to question.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. Are they going to remove Crystal's eye for continuity purposes?
Maybe they already have.
You know?
Awful.
Because that last shot of Crystal, he's pulling away the bandage, and he's looking, and she's got an eye. And I'm like, if anyone were to ever change that bandage or something like that, they're going to know.
I mean, if the people that are watching her are kind of all in on it, and they just keep the sash there and she's in a coma and they just kind of limit her visitors, then there's not really any need to remove her eye.
Who's
going to
visit
a
coma patient?
On the other hand, it's good to cover your bases.
Yeah, I would say it's safer to remove. If I were like an evil doctor, I would take her eye
an
out.
Evil mad scientist.
Yeah, I would. I mean, there's no reason not to. Because, I mean, the idea is for her to never come out of this coma.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to... You can't
at
have
least
her
not until
running.
The other clones are dead.
True.
But then at that point, they'll just kill her.
Yeah, that's true.
Crystal's, I mean, look, for all intents and purposes, Crystal is dead. I'm sorry.
But people are going to, sorry to interrupt you, no. People are going to wonder where Crystal is, no? I mean,
sure. Nobody who's wondering where Crystal is ever going to think clone conspiracy.
Yeah, Rachel's assuming her identity, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's why none of our clones are going to think to look for Crystal.
But people in Crystal's life.
You would think. I feel, well, she said to herself that she feels like she doesn't have anybody to talk to. So even though she has this very bright personality, she might be more isolated than we think. Because she's just projecting to all of her customers about this recent near-death experience that she had.
Right.
So maybe she doesn't have anybody to confine in.
Hector's dead.
But she doesn't
Whoever Hector
work with people.
Right. And she does have coworkers.
She interacts with people. And if she just doesn't show up one day and never shows up again, is Rachel just going to go live Crystal's life? I doubt it.
Like, no, she's going to go live a quiet... Crystal is going to go live a quiet life
in Taiwan.
No way she's going to live a quiet life in Taiwan.
I mean...
She's planning her next move against Clone Club.
I mean, Dyad's been observing Crystal very closely, which means I'm assuming Rachel has all of that information, so it's probably... They've probably covered their bases in terms of who kind of might raise an eyebrow at Crystal's disappearance.
Can I ask a question? If you were topside, right, and in the span of, I don't know, just a few months, your two little subsidiaries have just gone bonkers and people have wound up dead and all these kinds of big, big problems, why wouldn't you get deeply involved and shut both of them down and bring everybody in for questioning or worse? It just doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense that Topside is still remaining super secret when everything is going to shit.
Maybe it's part of a bigger experiment.
Well, also, you have so many people in Topside who are running subterfuge on this. I mean, you have Marion Bowles.
Where's Marion Bowles?
She's off making sure nobody's answering
no,
questions.
No, she's off on Powers on PlayStation.
Oh, well, there you go.
Maybe. She only shot 10 episodes this year. There's time.
I figured she took her kid on a vacation. That's what I figured.
Mm-hmm. Just like Cal.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
They're together.
What was it, Iceland? Yeah. They're hanging out in Iceland together.
Yeah. And let's face it, the only reason I don't think we're going to see Cal again is because he's on Game of Thrones. He's hanging out with Daenerys Targaryen.
Well, they do both shoot around the same time, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, no, they must shoot at different times because Game of Thrones shoots way earlier because of their visual effects. He's got time.
Well, I don't think we're going to see him again this season.
Not even for the finale, maybe?
Who knows? Maybe. Who knows?
Maybe.
Who knows what happens?
Yeah, maybe.
They're going to London, and London's going to be... Well, let's
They're going home.
London's a lot closer to Iceland, isn't it?
Yes.
But I was really disappointed, by the way, in how long it took them to get there. That they said London town like 5 times in the episode before they're like, wait a second, this points to London.
Maybe we should go to London.
Really disappointing, guys.
Well, they're going home.
They were waiting for the rest of the translation, which they never got. Well, here's what I love. Scott's gamer group helps Rachel in a very slow speed escape. And again, I'm still during this, not that I ever liked Rachel, but you were getting a lot of comic relief out of just the looks she was giving as like Scott's trying to make her move faster and Scott's gamer friends. I like there's just a moment when the one guy who got her out of the room and he gets him into the elevator, when he's going to the room, he's like giving them a thumbs up, but they're not looking and you see him kind of like all these little touches. And then Rachel gets there and starts translating the book. And yeah, it's kind of like a nursery rhyme about like London town, Castor.
In London town, we all fell down and Castor woke from slumber.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
But she translated that at Dyad.
And then she translated a little bit more.
The rest of it and gave them a number.
The original has a number. And
they gave him the number.
What that number means?
Did anyone else think? I mean, I don't know if Holocaust survivors had letters at the beginnings of their numbers, but I immediately thought he was a Holocaust survivor. The Castor original. That's what made sense
maybe.
To me.
That makes a lot of sense. They did experiments.
Experiments. So maybe this whole thing is an extension and adaptation of research that was found when they raided a concentration camp.
I love that.
So Topside is Nazis.
Topside is Nazis.
It's all Dr. Mengele research.
That's why they remain secret. Because they're not going to expose themselves until they're ready to take over the world.
Yeah, this is all a plot to clone Hitler.
Duh!
Rachel was in Germany, right? She had German doctors.
She was in Germany!
Yeah, back in home base. Yeah.
I hope that the series leads up. I hope next season the villain is frozen Adolf Hitler, who's been hanging out in Argentina.
Or at the very least, clone of Goebbels.
Yeah. Yeah.
What if the Castor clones are clones of Goebbels? No, because it's got to be a Holocaust survivor, which means it's got to be either a Jew or a gypsy.
Lord.
I like where your head's at, but I don't think this is where they're going.
I don't think it's Nazis, necessarily.
I have a feeling that it's not... have to do with the Holocaust, but you never know. You never know.
Watch
with this show.
Season 5, it's all a plot to clone Hitler.
Well, anyway, right on cue, as she's translating the book, Neelan, and they come in, and now we can say, he's there, supposedly sent by Delphine, who let them leave. But really, we also kind of know that Rachel has been using Neelan, and another great shot when Neelan's like, oh, she's gone to a seizure, and he's bringing her into the operating room, and she gives him like a sideways look, and we're like,
side eye.
Yeah. They're in on it, and all under Delta. So everybody, Poor Delphine. No. Everyone's moving under her
stop
nose.
Stop it. Delphine knows all about this. Don't for a second. Delphine knows all about
yes,
this.
You no, are wrong. No, 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 no. They played no. Delphine.
No.
No. No, no, no. Rachel played Delphine because Delphine was playing them. I'm with you. I think Delphine overreacted. I feel like if these two people could just grow up and have an adult conversation about their issues, none of this would have happened.
No, Anna's taking it one step further.
I'm saying Delphine knew about them taking Rachel. And oh! There's no
oh, no,
way.
She knew. Yeah, she knew they were taking Rachel. Right. Yeah, but she didn't know.
About the switcheroo? She had to know about that.
No, how is this possible?
Why do you hate Delphine? By the way,
May I support my opinion here before
go right
you lunatics just start? Listen,
when it comes out that Delphine did not know about this, you are the one who called us lunatics.
Yeah. Okay,
go ahead. We're the sanest people here.
You have the floor. You have the floor.
Let her speak. Let her speak.
Thank you, Megan. So first, it starts when she gets that manicure, and then she goes and speaks to Dr. Nealon. They have the conversation about Crystal and her new monitors and whatever, and then Delphine initiates the conversation. Okay, but what about Rachel? Is she still an asset or not? Nealon says that absolutely she is still an asset, and she's like, I'm not convinced about this. But that is like the same conversation that they're having is with Crystal and Rachel. Okay, she obviously does know about them taking Rachel.
Yes.
And
yes.
She's like, I thought you said that she'd be able to handle, that they could handle the move and she would be able to sustain this, whatever. But then what you have to notice is that the whole, like, passionate kiss scene with between Delphine and Cosima,
yes,
and Rachel decoding, they kept flipping back and forth between those scenes. So you have to accept that those are, like, intertwined scenes. Let me finish.
Okay.
And Delphine was like, you should have trusted me. And it was just, like, boom, cold. And she also earlier, I'm sorry, I missed a point, she was manipulating Cosima. She holds Cosima's hand. She's like, and was, like, rubbing her finger. She's like, let's think hard. How are we going to identify and unlock the rest of the synthetic sequence? And then immediately gets a call from Scott, right? About the book. And she's like, what book? It's all a setup, right? It's silly.
So did she know about the book, you're saying, already?
She already knows about the book.
She knew about the book before.
She knows, yes. She knows there's a copy. She knows all of it. So when she said to Cosima, let's think how we're going to identify and unlock the rest of the synthetic sequence, she totally already knows about the book. And that's why she's, like, holding her hand. I mean, she's playing Cosima. She's playing her. And the fact that she knows so much about Crystal and is asking about her monitors and whatever, I mean, obviously she's going to go looking for Crystal. And if she didn't know about this plan, it's all going to fall apart, right? If she's not in on it. With the switcheroo.
No!
I would say, I think you have a good theory, but I think that for me personally, I don't see Delphine ever doing any favors for Rachel, not because there wouldn't be some political gain to it, but because Rachel is a threat to Delphine personally for a number of reasons, because Rachel is the type of person when you slight her, she will get her revenge, and usually that means you end up in a body bag. And for Delphine was the person crushing her wounded eye,
yeah,
earlier this season when she was unable to defend herself. So I just don't personally think that Delphine would do her any favors, even if it meant hurting Cosima and the rest of Clone Club. I really don't think she would, just because Rachel would turn around and kill her the first chance she got.
But what if it's not a favor to Rachel? It's a favor to Topside or, you know, somebody higher up.
I believe that handholding was genuine. I think it was that moment where two people who deeply care about each other and were in a relationship, and they're talking about life and death, and she takes her hand, and
without even thinking about it.
And also that scene that was cross-cutting with the Rachel thing, remember, previous to that, one of the reasons I think it's cross-cutting is because Cosima said previously that I'm going to distract Delphine. She went there with the letter of resignation specifically to keep Delphine busy. So if anyone, Cosima's the one trying to pull a scam on Delphine. I feel sorry for Delphine. I've actually never liked Delphine
more. They were playing
more.
Each other. Cosima went in
okay,
there to play
true.
With
you're
her.
Right. They were both
and Delphine
pulling a scam.
Was 100% aware of this and played right back. So they were playing with each other.
Okay, that's true. But nevertheless,
let me children.
Those two are perfect for each other. They scheme.
Right. They would be if they would stop acting like babies.
I'm just going to throw one last thing into the mix, and y'all can take it or leave it. Way, way back in season one, if y'all recall, Delphine was not interested in women. She had never been with a woman. She was not a lesbian, period. And she was forced to seduce Cosima and participate in this as her monitor because that was her job. She says, and, you know, to an extent I believe it, that she developed feelings along the way and since then has operated as if those feelings are very, very big. Now, I personally think that they're real feelings, but I also can see a world where all of it was manufactured, and this is somebody who, when we met her, was a sycophant at the feet of Dr. Leakey, who is thinking about how to further science and further her career, and maybe, just maybe, she's been a snake in the grass the whole time and has been playing the longest con of anyone on the show. But that, to me, sounds more ridiculous, perhaps, then she actually fell for this woman and is now trying to torn between her duty and her love.
Yeah, no, I think the only person doing a really long con was Paul.
Yeah. But Paul. Then again, we didn't see a long con coming with Paul.
Well, we never really knew what side he was on, apart from being on Team Sarah.
Was off screen, too, it seemed like.
True. Or inside someone.
You know, while Cosima and Delphine continue this dance segue to tell you about Dance Battle America.
Seamless transition.
ABC's seamless. Newest competition special from our very own AfterBuzz founder and e-host Maria Menounos and Julianne Hough from Dancing with the Stars comes ABC's special Dance Battle America. During the holiday seasons over the last 2 years, Julianne and Maria have engaged in a fearsome dance battle via social media. Once the challenge took off, celebrities like Kate Hudson, Amber Riley joined in and a dance battle craze began. Now the ladies are challenging everyone in America to battle it out for the chance to fly to Los Angeles and compete on the dance show scheduled for this fall. So here's the opportunity of a lifetime. If you want the chance to dance on network television, go to www.dancebattleamericacasting.com for more information on how to submit your video and post it on social media using the hashtag DanceBattleABC. Matt, you with that Clone Club dance.
I was literally just thinking, I was like, listen here, folks. I want you to really listen closely. You need to represent the Clone Club of the entire planet, okay? You need to send in a dance battle tape to www.dancebattleamericacasting.com, and it needs to be to the Orphan Black opening credit music.
Yes.
Featuring the classic Lieberman Clone Club shimmy, okay? And you need to get on the show, and you need to own all of this. I'm trying not to swear. Own all of this spit and
stuff,
and you need to bring home the Clone Club crown. Okay?
And thank if you, you do, we'll all go out to dinner.
We're all going.
You'll be here in Los Angeles.
So we'll all go out to dinner.
AfterBuzz Clone Club, we're all going out.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
We'll even pay.
Yeah, but only if you bring home the crown.
Only if you bring home that Clone Club
because
crown.
Because we don't want to go to dinner with losers.
Otherwise, we will turn our noses up in disgust.
But seriously, though, make the video, submit it to DanceBattleAmericaCasting.com, and then you need to send it to us, too.
Please. Excellent. Excellent.
Excellent.
But back to Cofine.
Cofine.
I have never been more...
Is that the ship name?
That's the ship name.
Like
that's
caffeine, the official... but Cofine?
Is it Cofine or is it Cofine? Because it's Cosima.
Caffeine.
I've never been more on top of
like
this.
Cosine.
The public have already decided on this. These were not decisions that we made.
Caffeine. Not Delcina?
I was going to say, that sounds like the Pokemon, like coughing.
Coffee. You know, I know a lot of people were kind of, a lot of fans out there were heartbroken when they broke up, but I've never rooted for the couple more. You got to break these couples up to keep them. I've never wanted these two together, and I'm sorry.
Dad kissed, though.
such a manipulation, though.
No. Oh, no. No, that was passion.
Oh, yeah.
Passion.
She pulled her
pure
in
passion.
Just to push her away to be like, you effed up.
She's genuinely
hurt. It was a hate
hurt.
Kiss because they were both.
Listen,
yeah,
you want to talk about.
Kind of semi
you want to talk
kiss.
About manipulative kisses. You got to talk about Alison Hendricks and Jason Kellerman, where she didn't say anything on purpose because she wanted to taste them lips
that
for
is,
just a second, just to push him away.
That is, yeah, Delphine kiss, genuine.
No kiss manipulation.
Yeah.
The
Alison, no, Alison plus Jason is Alison kiss.
No. Guys, I'll be honest. In terms of this Delphine debate, we're never really going to find out until we get to the end of the story.
Final
it's like
episode.
Paul. We're never going to really know what side, where he stood up until that final moment.
I want to say this, though.
Are you saying you hope Delphine dies, too?
No, I'm just saying we have to wait and see. Yeah. And that is the only
Anna
way
is
we're
hoping
find
that Delphine
out.
Dies
I don't
soon.
Hope Delphine dies. I don't. The, I enjoy it.
I think we should just continue to not trust anyone. Yeah. Shay and Delphine included.
By the way, she's been killing it in the past few episodes, too.
Yeah.
Evelyn Brochu.
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 And she, oh, yeah. The look on her face when she sees Shay in that lab was priceless. Mm-hmm.
And I love her line of, like, how she's not jealous that the French...
French love lovers.
Lovers. Yeah,
French
we love our
totally
loves. French.
Get lovers.
But there was that great little moment at the beginning where Shay's doing her non-licensed medical, whatever, spiritual
Reiki,
thing.
Reiki, laying on of hands.
And she...
corpse pose.
And she,
doctor healing? No.
Wasn't Reiki?
I thought it was... Because she doesn't quite lay on her hands.
She's...
She's doing chakra healing.
I don't know.
It's something
new
I
age. Mean,
yeah, it's something
new
I will
age,
never
rumble,
engage
jumble.
In. That's all I know.
It's not science.
Of
yeah,
it's
but
very not science.
She asks her about near-death experiences, and she says, "When you're near death, you see like what you love, what you need the most, what you love the most." And what did she see? She saw Delphine. I mean, let's face it, this is the end game for these two. In some way, it's going to be Cofine. Shay is just a speed bump. She's rebound.
Yeah, you're right.
Shay's rebound.
I think Shay is a
what
are problem. We doing?
It's what she needs right now. Yeah. Yeah.
I think Shay is a problem too.
But anyway, what are you guys doing?
Well,
are you two making lewd hand gestures
vulgar,
at each other?
We are.
Vulgar hand gestures aside, why don't we talk about, you mentioned her before, why don't we talk about our favorite show within the show,
The Hendrickses,
with special guest star Helena.
And Gracie.
I love that. I feel like when they came in, like I feel like the sitcom studio audience should have applauded.
Yeah, honestly.
Can I say there are a few things I enjoy on the show more than Tatiana as Helena saying my babies.
Oh, it's one of the best.
Yeah,
and she has that canister. What was that canister just hidden at Felix's whole
this
time?
This whole time.
I think Kira hit it.
Kira hit it.
Yeah.
She's
but Helena
smart
found
cookie.
It.
Helena found her.
I really liked that they were like, it's your turn to deal with her. She's great with kids. Don't worry about her.
This is the most that we have seen Gemma. The entire series was with Helena.
Yeah.
You're weird.
Yeah.
And we're just so cute.
And her daughter has no questions about the genetic identical to her mom.
That was a big question. I feel like that might have been a deleted scene. Like them coming up with some convoluted.
Yeah.
I guess the long and short explanation would be like, she's your aunt that you've never heard of until now.
Yeah, I mean, you could explain anything to a kid, I guess.
Distant
and they'll just
cousin.
Be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I guess like at this
random
point.
Random crazy homeless lady we're just helping out.
When she gets older, she'll be like, what was with that weird. When I was about like 7, there was this weird Ukrainian woman who lived with us. What was that all about?
Yeah, and like, you know, and then dad left with her, and then that's prediction territory.
That scene was fantastic.
Yeah.
When she is in the back room making soap with Donnie.
I watched it so many times.
Here is my issue with this. Helena effectively has the mind of a child. Effectively.
And the laugh.
And the laugh of a child. So when Donnie starts playing it up to make her laugh and is enjoying the attention, he is effectively seducing an adult child.
He's not seducing her.
Oh, please. He is flirting with an adult child.
Some flirting. But I don't think it's hard to view her in that moment as an adult child. You're absolutely right if you step back and think about it. But I don't think Donnie's thing. I mean, he's, I think, more in the mindset Ukrainian assassin than adult child.
The crazy person that's in our
home. You're not wrong.
But let's also look at Donald Francis Chubbs' life up until this point.
Not Chubbs. Chubbs nay Hendrix. Or Hendrix nay Chubbs.
But up until Allison, yeah. How much attention do you think, and after Allison, how much attention do you think he gets from the ladies?
I mean, not a lot.
He wears a fleece zip-up, you know, like, all the time. And he's not doing that great for
this
himself.
This is also a woman who has his wife's face.
Yeah.
So, of course, he's attracted to her.
And he walked away from the situation after he... I think if you're right in that... You know, about how he should be thinking. He might have thought, like, oh, that was weird. Maybe I shouldn't have. Because he walks out of the room almost immediately while she's still laughing hysterically.
I think it's more of trying to make a good impression with your, you know, with your wife's family.
With your sister-in-law?
Yeah.
By flirting with her?
I wouldn't call it flirting. I didn't see it as flirting.
The
I just thought it was a really fun...
The two-baby ox line was flirting. She had just said that he was attractive, and then he did nothing to refute that. I'm going to throw an example out there that will make you cringe, but this is comparison.
I've had enough incest for my AfterBuzz shows in 1 week.
Not incest. This is the effective comparison of this scene to me, and I hope that it does not offend you, but it is the equivalent of seeing a beautiful adult woman wearing a child's onesie and seeing her butt and thinking that butt is hot. It is
the same at all.
It is totally the same. It is confusing. It is weird. And if you follow that logic down that hole, you're going to be in a weird, bad spot.
I don't think I want to follow that rabbit hole.
Neither do I, but that's where I feel like he's on the precipice. He's on the edge of that hole, and he's deciding whether or not to fall in.
I feel like you are unintentionally revealing parts of yourself that... maybe shouldn't be out there for the public.
No, nothing about me. Donnie, this is entirely about Donnie.
Donnie does, though, feel like, I mean, there is something to that. He feels this, you know, he knows about the kiss. He was, which, to Allison's credit, she was upfront about the kiss.
True.
And now there's this whole scene where he, you know, he takes her phone because he knows, like we talked about the Allison kiss, and he knows that that Jason's not going to let up. So he texts with Allison's phone and goes to meet her,
Donnie goes to meet Jason.
Somehow we were able to keep it straighter last week with all the parts and this week. But he goes to meet him in the back room, and they have a little bit of a confrontation.
They get into a little slap fight.
A little slap fight where Jason kind of kicks his ass.
Kind of. He leaves him cold on the floor.
He went down.
Now, I half expected Helena to walk in on this. Hmm. I half expected to see her come in there. Which I guess gets to a prediction I have for next week.
I was going to say, I think we all might be thinking along those same lines in terms of the body that the Hendrixes are going to have to bury this season.
It's one of three people.
Yeah. But yeah, so he has it out with Jason. But Jason's not going away.
Mm-hmm.
My question is going to be how Allison now reacts to the fact that her husband got the crap kicked out of him. You know, because I doubt. Well, I mean, is Donnie going to be honest with her that it was Jason who did it? Because now this sets up a whole scenario in which he has to explain, I didn't trust her and texted the phone. And, you know, I don't know. How would you play this if you're Donnie?
You tell the truth and you deal with the consequences because ultimately you got knocked out. I don't know.
That makes the most sense, but I don't know if that's the way Donnie always plays things.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, I have a whole, like, full prediction about it.
So. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, should we, well, let's see. Is there any other things in the Allison storyline that we want to talk about while we're here? Gracie and Helena had a nice scene together.
She's going to be the auntie to her baby.
Gracie's part of Clone Club. Why can't Crystal be part of Clone Club?
Well, because Gracie's been through some stuff.
She's got that blood sperm in her.
Yeah. So.
It was really strange, the music choice, the music cue when she and Helena had that scene together, because what was a very sweet scene had this very tense music behind it, even though they genuinely seem they like each other.
Well, the last time they had seen each other was a life and death scenario, so I think there is some distance there just because you don't quite know where the other person stands, because that was the last time, and Helena did burn her family's house to the ground. So it's entirely possible that Gracie would have resented her for that. Mm-hmm. So it's understandable to kind of keep your distance up until, you know, the scene progresses a little bit and like, oh, okay, no, we're all on the same page.
And entirely possible that Helena would have resented Gracie for losing the babies. So I think they were both guilty, like, I didn't need to hurt you. I didn't want the situation.
I don't think Helena knows what happened to Mark either after Castor fell. So, like, that's kind of an awkward thing, too.
Right.
And when Mrs. S says the thing about Mark and them being like mayflies and just kind of let them all drown, Gracie hears that. That's also a great little moment where we see Gracie still thinking about Mark and still loves Mark, even though he's a clone.
And a liar.
Yeah.
An abomination.
Yeah.
Aww.
But,
that's what the Prolethians would call her.
Although, I liked the, just not to go back too far, but the, explanation about the Castor disease. In the first place, they explained why it didn't affect Sarah. Is that it basically acts like mad cow disease and it causes a protein to fold in on itself.
And she doesn't have the protein.
Exactly. Yeah. So I thought that was a good explanation. I was like, oh, okay, that explains why it didn't bother her.
Yeah.
Well, if there's nothing else on the episode, let's get to some predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Well, Anna, you said you had a lengthy prediction, so why don't we start with you?
I don't want to start, though, because I don't want to, like, step on
Megan, you, okay? Why don't we start with you?
You know what? I think that it's revealed that Shay is a part of Castor, and I don't think that she's a good person. I feel like it's a repeat of the Delphine arc from the first season, so that's where that's going. And my other big prediction is that Helena attacks and or kills Jason, and that's the body that we have to bury, the Hendrix have to bury at the end of this season.
That's, yeah, I'm in line with that.
That, to me, I'm not sure that it's Jason. I think it's one of three people that Helena kills. It's either Jason, Marcy Coates could rear her ugly head once again, complicate the situation, and or Pouchy, or some emissary of Pouchy's.
How great would it be if she took out the Peruvian drug dealer?
Exactly. Paving the way for Allison and Donnie to take his place
and become the king and queen of the drug cartel.
I mean, exactly. Every drug dealer, they need muscle. Helena's the perfect muscle for
that. Perfect muscle, drenched in blood.
But I think it's going to be Jason. I think Jason is going to get between Donnie and Allison, and Helena's going to be like, for Donnie, like, I'm going to take this guy out.
Yes.
In that wonderful...
You are no good for my sister.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw out an awful idea.
Do it.
What if it's Allison?
No. No. She would never. No,
she's killed clones before.
She
but not
would
Sestra
never.
Allison. No.
That's
no.
Sestra Allison on the eve of the election.
But no. Sestra Allison, who is betraying Donnie the baby ox.
She is also a mother. She cares about the kids now, too.
Yeah. And to be fair, yes, I think you're right where she wanted to get that bit of a kiss. But she was never going to go further than that. And she barely kissed him.
No, that's just a little bit of curiosity, I think.
Hmm. Curiosity killed the cat.
Yeah, why would
it's
she
not
going to
kill Allison, though.
Why would she be curious? She's kissed him before. She knows how he kisses.
She hasn't kissed him in, like, 20 years.
It's been
years.
A long time since they've seen each other, and they used to be intimate. And they have they have a good back and forth now. They still have chemistry. So I think she's just curious.
Yeah, she wants to know if the lips are still as soft as they used to be.
I don't think it's enough for Helena to kill her, though.
And that's true. Other than Donnie and Ainsley's husband, she hasn't kissed another man in a long time.
Other than.
That's true. Well, I think that Helena is going to find Donnie in the stockroom still passed out and feel very protective of him because nobody likes to see a baby ox pass out.
Nikki
she'll
D
be like, who did this?
Or tweeted a picture at us of a baby ox.
I know,
nice.
So cute. So I think she'll feel protected and be like, who did this? And he'll be like, it was Jason. And then she'll go and kill Jason.
And he'll be like, what did you do?
Why did you do that? I just didn't like him. Yeah, so.
I like that because she's working in that back room anyway. Right. So when the work day begins, she might be the first one to go back there and find him there.
And it would be very easy for Donnie, who is very childlike himself, to put the blame on Jason and not understand that the repercussions would be a murderous Helena.
He doesn't quite get Helena yet.
Yeah, no. He doesn't quite get a lot of things.
Right, that's true.
I don't know what realm of reality he lives in, but it's not quite the one that we're in.
I'm very, more than inordinately excited to watch Maria Doyle Kennedy tear it up on stage next week.
I know.
I'm so excited.
I mean, we know that she's a singer. We've seen her when she was on the show last year. She was about to step out on stage and sing.
Yeah.
But I read somewhere that she hasn't performed on a sang on a show or a movie since The Commitments, which was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So this is going to be good. Did you have anything else, Anna?
I'm going to stay with my Delphine theory.
And, your Delphine theory.
And my Cal theory.
I don't know, other than to look into the number, I don't know what thread they're going to be able to pull once they're in London. I don't see it. What is their next step? What is the next move?
Yeah. Caster's secret hideout is underwater beneath London Bridge.
Yeah.
It's a cool underwater hideout, and you need a submarine to get there, and it's awesome.
Matt, do you have any
any further predictions? I don't know. I'd like to make a Shay prediction, but I know that I'll be wrong. Because I don't personally think that... I think it's too simple that she's a Caster Mole. But she'll probably wind up being a Caster Mole, so I'm not going to try to come up with an alternative. I think that Delphine is on the level about 80%. There's something that she's definitely holding back. She learned a lot when she was at Topside, but I do believe that her emotions for Cosima are real.
I do.
Doesn't matter. Cosima doesn't work for them anymore. And Delphine threw it in her face. Like I said, they need to stop being babies. Grow on, ladies.
Yeah, I want the thing I'm most curious about is Rachel and Cody and decoding this damn book. I just want to know what else is coming from.
Yeah,
that.
Who is the lady that Rachel is with now?
It's Cody, Dr. Cody.
I first thought that's got to be Cody. But then when I was tweeting with the Uber fan, who I'll give a shout out to because such a supporter of this podcast, Uber fan's great on Twitter. But when I was tweeting, we were kind of going back and forth on that. And I'm like, it can't be Cody because why hide Cody's face? There's no reason. And I was trying to think.
And Cody was in that Mexican cantina earlier.
Yeah, she was. But she was also in contact. The dude that she was with is from Topside, and he said that they have a mole inside Dyad, and that things were in motion.
But they also said there was a third party somewhere involved in all this, and I have a theory. I've thought a lot about who are some people who might come and surprise us. Susan Duncan, Rachel's dead mother. The father was alive.
Snap!
The father was alive. Why do we think that she died in that
fire?
So
are you positing that Susan Duncan is not British? Because that was not a British accent, and to me, the Duncans were always British.
I will posit that.
Nothing ever...
She looked like Cody! She looked like Cody to me! Why are we complicating this?
Why hide Cody's face? There's no reason to hide Cody's face.
You're oversimplifying it.
Ooh, getting it thrown back in my face. That I'm not going to show.
That's just a...
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
I'm still me.
I'm sorry.
Even without showing my face, you know that it's me because you recognize my damn voice.
Did you recognize that voice as Cody's?
Yes.
I did not.
I didn't. She had a much different way of talking. A very, very...
Much different.
I feel like they name-dropped her, too. I just don't remember. Didn't they name-drop her while they
were
on the phone?
That's so weird. I totally took it as Cody. Why leave Cody out in the cold?
I initially thought it was Cody until I started tweeting with some people and thinking about, wait, but why didn't they show her face? So it has to be a new element
she
to it.
She looked blonde to me, too. I'm just going to throw that out there.
How fitting. I do think, that actually, that it would be a fitting parallel if it was Mrs. Duncan, because that's how Rachel was introduced to us as well. Like, we didn't see her face at first. So I think it would be a great parallel if that's what ended up happening.
And I don't think we're going to find out next week. I think that's going to be held for the finale, whatever's going on there.
I think that's fair.
I think next week it's going to be all London, all Mrs. S singing, all craziness.
Clone karaoke party.
Excellent. So, Anybody else? Any more predictions?
No? I feel like we've got it covered.
We've got it covered. We've got it everything. We predicted the whole series in this one. So, Megan.
Oh, I'm Megan. You can follow me on Twitter at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, including the Turn finale later tonight. I've started writing articles for The Movie Chick, Chick with Two Ks. Be sure to check those out. And actually, stay tuned tonight for Popcorn Talk. The Movie Chick and Popcorn Talk are doing something special, so check that out.
Oh, fancy. Well, you can follow me at Koppel for Mayor, KOPPELFORMAYOR.
Okay, unfortunately, I have some sad news. I will not be here for the last two episodes of the season. I'm going to be at my sister's graduation in New Jersey next week, and the following week I'm going to be in San Francisco for work. So I will definitely share my thoughts with these wonderful people, and they'll be able to share them with you. But it's been a pleasure being on this panel all season with you guys. And you can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman, MattLieberman. You can go there and yell at me for having a sister.
And your sestra. You have to
my
see your sestra.
Yes, my sestra's graduation.
You can follow me on Twitter at The Real Will Link.
And every time. It just gets me every time.
And listen to my pop culture podcast.
Will Sean podcast?
Question mark.
Yeah. Find out if I actually, if me and Sean actually podcast. Spoiler alert, we did. Listen to it.
Someone found the podcast I was on, and it was like my nightmare, just so you know.
Oh, yeah, somebody tweeted at me. I like that the Clone Club responded to our episode.
That's fantastic.
We will see you next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Clone you later!
Expressed herein are those of the host only, do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.